We're going to witness a baptism this morning. And it is a great privilege for us to do so. Because, friends, baptism is a testimony to us that our God is a faithful covenant God, right? Even as I prayed a moment ago, he's that God who continues to be God to us and to our children after us. But you must know, beloved in the Lord, this sacrament, baptism, is a means of God's grace for the benefit of the whole congregation. Because baptism also testifies to us that each believer is spiritually cleansed from our sin, just as surely as we see a body physically washed with water. That connection of a physical washing that we're going to see in baptism to the spiritual washing done by God in Jesus Christ, even in the power of his Spirit. That connection is brought before us here in Hebrews 10. I'd ask you now to turn there with me. Hebrews 10, and we read this passage, verses 11 through 25. And consider with me, as you see there in the sermon title, friends, our hearts sprinkled, our bodies washed. This is the word of God. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The word of God from Hebrews 10. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, it's always good to remember the already as well as the not yet of our Christian life. The already aspect of our salvation as well as the not yet aspects of our salvation. Important to realize what Christ has already done. On the other hand, what he has not yet done. You know, the Lord has been enthroned as king already. But of course, he's not yet done dealing with his enemies. Right here in verse 13, it says that they are still needing to be put underneath his feet. And then in verse 14, you know, Jesus has given us the Spirit of holiness, but we are still being sanctified. Not yet perfectly holy, right? Far from it. So that work of sanctification is the ongoing work of our Lord by the Spirit. Well, here's another thing that Christ has already done, and you see it there in verse 14. Perfected us. This is truly a glorious little word. I would pray you cling with all your heart to that one word in Hebrews 10:14. That Christ has perfected us for all time. He has finished reconciling us to God by his one bloody sacrifice on the cross. He has perfected us for all time for a relationship with God. We're still sinners, still being sanctified, even as I said a moment ago. Of course, the very verse there, verse 14, tells us we are being sanctified still. Yet perfected already. Not morally perfected, obviously, that's not what's meant there. But truly made perfectly acceptable to God because of the one sacrifice of Christ, His Son. The point is, there is nothing that we sinners could ever do to make ourselves acceptable to God. Nothing that we could ever do to cleanse ourselves for a relationship with that holy God of heaven. We have to be saved. And God has accomplished that salvation completely, perfectly, through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. So that we are left to receive that gift of salvation through faith in the Savior. Not to do something to earn it, but empty hands before our God. Like beggars going to Him, looking for Him to give freely of His grace all that He has accomplished for us in Christ. Friends, this is why someone is, as a sinner, to receive baptism. When entering into a relationship with God and with His church. And it brings me to my first point this morning. Baptism shows us that we sinners need to be washed by another. Now, I know that might be way too simple for lots of you this morning. Of course, we don't baptize ourselves. But wait, I'm getting to that spiritual reality that is really demonstrated by that fact that we receive baptism. We don't wash ourselves in baptism. We get baptized by another, right? Again, baptism shows us that we sinners need to be washed, spiritually washed by another. A sinner can't make himself clean and acceptable to God. Never! The sinner has to be cleansed by another. It's the minister who applies the water of baptism, right? But it's the Lord Jesus who gives us that spiritual washing. Applying His blood to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, this is why baptism is to be received and received only once. Jesus saved us by that one shedding of His blood in His sacrificial death. And He gives us salvation personally, brings it to us as individuals by sending us the Holy Spirit. And you know, beloved, it is the Spirit who gives us that washing of regeneration. Rebirth, which of course is a one-time event, right? Well, the author of Hebrews wanted to remind us about that one-time washing that we receive in baptism. And it's only a few words there in verse 22, but you have to appreciate what he's saying. Notice that verse again, verse 22. Let us draw near. He's talking about worshiping God. Go to God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean, a spiritual washing, you see, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, let's go worship God with joyful confidence through faith in Christ, whose one sacrifice gives us this assurance. That our sinful hearts have been sprinkled clean by His blood, just as our bodies have been washed with water. I hope you cling to the words, the few words that we just read there in verse 22. Because they tell you what a glorious blessing baptism is. To receive it and to watch it over and over again. As often as you possibly can. To see the waters of baptism and to hear God's promises joined to that sacrament. Now verse 22 doesn't say baptism, I realize that. But that's the point here, you see. This physical washing with water is the sign and seal God has given to assure us believers of the spiritual washing He graciously gives, sprinkling us with the blood of His Son. Someone can't fathom why we would baptize people by sprinkling water. You have to know, friends, it's totally appropriate to sprinkle. Because, of course, the language of the application of Christ's blood to us in the Scriptures is never that he immerses us in his blood, but that he sprinkles us with his blood. You hear it so often in this church, right? Those words from 1 Peter 1, verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit. And notice, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. And look back a chapter to Hebrews 9, would you? Just a couple verses. Hebrews 9, verse 13. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, Old Testament washings, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The baptisms in the Old Testament were done with animal blood, of course. First sprinkled before God, inside his holy place, right? Sprinkled before the throne of God because he demanded death as payment for the sins of his people. A satisfaction of God's just wrath against sin. Blood sprinkled before God, you see. But then that animal blood brought outside his holy place and sprinkled on that altar out there before the people as well. Double sprinkling, one before God and then the other out there before the people. And sometimes the people themselves, if they had become ceremonially unclean, they were sprinkled with the ashes of a heifer, which are even mentioned here. Well, Hebrews 9 tells us how Christ made an end of all that animal sacrifice. He offered himself on the cross as our sacrificial lamb, once and for all, paying for our sins. And notice, friends, first, verse 13 and 14 there in Hebrews 9, it tells us that in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus offered his blood first to the Father. But then, by the same Spirit, Jesus applied his blood to us to purify our consciences so that we may serve God in the confidence that our Heavenly Father perfectly accepts us as his holy and beloved children in Jesus. Our passage today in Hebrews 10 is not especially about baptism, okay? It's just mentioned there a little bit in verse 22. I realize that. It's about the joyful confidence we sinners may have by the blood of Christ to draw near to a holy God in our prayers and in all of our worship, a confidence that our relationship with God does not depend on our obedience at all. That's the sort of confidence that is being brought before us here in our passage. It's a confidence that depends totally upon the finished work of our Savior Jesus Christ. His perfectly obedient life, ending with his sacrificial death on the cross, and yet also his ongoing work as our risen high priest at the right hand of the Father. If you'll look at our passage again, friends, in chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places. See, not to remain the people outside the tent of God, but to go in through the blood of Jesus by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. That is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. See, he lives. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In a few moments, brothers and sisters, you're going to witness a little precious body of a baby boy washed with the water of baptism. This infant child cannot understand any of these spiritual things that we're talking about today, at least not yet, right? He's baptized simply because God still includes children in his covenant and in his church, along with their believing parents, as he has always done. The parents will rejoice, no doubt, over the truth that their son belongs to God's covenant people. And all of us parents share in that joy, that our little ones belong to the church. Of course, the parents are also going to be charged to bring up their son in the discipline and instruction of the Lord Jesus, just as Paul says in Ephesians 6:4. To raise them in the Lord, right? Parents need to teach their children about the meaning of baptism, which especially points to the bloody sacrifice of our Savior. That spiritual washing that we sinners need Him to do for us. Well, that's what baptism should do for us all this morning. So as much as the sacrament, you understand, beloved, as much as the sacrament is for the infant that's going to be baptized and is for his parents, baptism also is God's gracious gift to all of us believers in the congregation today. A sign that points us back to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. A seal, guarantee, by which God promises, if you trust in the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ, you are spiritually cleansed from all your sin by His blood, just as surely as you've been baptized. In fact, just as surely as you watch baptism again today applied to a baby boy. So I would call all of you, look upon that water, remember the blood, and receive God's gracious promises in Christ Jesus, which are yes for you believers today. Sealed to you, that you may be ever more assured to draw near to God through the blood of His Son, and to serve Him with a clean conscience. Not a conscience that says you have no sin, but a conscience that says, in spite of all those sins you do still have, you've been perfected by the blood of Christ for a relationship with God. There might be a few weary sinners in God's house this morning. You're here, you're present, right? But maybe not joyfully present. Not confident this morning that God gladly receives you into His holy presence because you failed to do your duty. Time and again you failed. You've stained yourself over and over by your filthy sins so that your conscience this morning is not clear, but convicted that you're guilty, deserving only to be rejected by God. Oh, my poor friend, if that is you, only confess your sins to God. Trust in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, whose one bloody sacrifice brings full and free forgiveness and continual acceptance with our God. This is His promise. The words from Jeremiah 31 that are quoted in our passage, you'll look back at Hebrews 10 here. There are words from Jeremiah 31 where we read in verse 17, the Holy Spirit says this there in that Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. When there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Only one person is baptized in our midst today, beloved. Let's all embrace this sacrament, however, as God's gracious guarantee that we penitent believers have been washed by the blood of Christ, purified for peace with God. And may that good news compel each and every one of us with a joyful confidence to worship our gracious God now and forever. May it also compel us to walk more and more in grateful obedience. And we're not saved by our obedience, not at all. We don't do anything to finish the redeeming work of Christ who reconciled us to God, perfected us for God by His bloody sacrifice. But we know that receiving these gifts of God's saving grace, we are to be moved to grateful obedience. And you know, that's exactly where our passage goes. If you'll look back at Hebrews 10, just notice the last few words there, verse 23 and following. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The God who makes great promises is faithful to fulfill those promises. And what he has promised to do for those who trust in his Son is this: by the blood of Christ Jesus, to forgive our sins. And by the Spirit of Christ, to free us from the power of sin more and more. And that is really the promise of baptism as well, friends. The promise God makes in our baptism really is that through Jesus, we have a washing for forgiveness and for freedom. The promise of God in the gospel, which is signed and sealed in baptism. Yes, indeed, that Jesus washes us for the forgiveness of sins and for the freedom to walk in true obedience. More and more. People have a tendency to think that this change that is to happen in the Christian really is something we must accomplish, something we must do. We must grow and we must do better. After all, God commands us to love and to do good works, right? That's what we read in our passage. That's what we have to do. That's our duty. Well, sure, this is our duty, friends, but you must realize the only way you can practice love and good works is that your God and Savior promises to make you his child. We're obedient in Christ Jesus. He promises to do it. And if you think I'm stretching here, let me just remind you of the words of Jeremiah 31 again. Not so much the words about forgiveness, which we already read in verse 17, but the words right before that in 16. These also from Jeremiah 31, where the Lord God says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them," and it's the new covenant in the blood of Christ. "After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." You see, I will make them my obedient children. All your change and growth as a Christian, your whole sanctification, is really a gift of God through his grace in Jesus Christ. It is that washing work that the Holy Spirit performs, which frees us from the power, the bondage of sin, and frees us more and more to walk in love and good works. So as you see the water of baptism today, beloved, embrace God's promise, yes, for the forgiveness of your sins, but also his promise to purify you more and more by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And remember, God does this work, changing us more and more into the image of his Son. God changes us by the preaching of his word, especially. In the power of his Spirit, he uses his word to change hearts, to breathe new life into us, bring conviction of sin, bring us confidence in the work of his Son Jesus, and joy and all of those things. Yes, especially by his word. Yet, through the fellowship of the saints, through the loving encouragement and exhortations that we bring to each other. You notice those words in verse 24? Stir up one another to love and good works. Yes, God promises to change his people by his word and the power of his Spirit, but to some extent, he provokes that change. And that's the old word there in the translation you would have in the King James. That stir up, provoke one another to love and good works. Well, we know God provokes change in us to a great extent by our words one to another in the congregation. This is why it is such a great sin, beloved, to neglect the gathering of the church in the worship of God. You miss the promises of God's word by which he gives us life and salvation in Jesus Christ. The powerful word which by the Spirit brings about change in blood-bought children of God. You miss it when you are not there to receive the means of grace. The preaching of word, and by the way, that word, those great promises signed and sealed by the sacraments. But you also miss the purifying and preserving power of God that comes through Christian fellowship. Vital for our growth in Christ. Which is why we must always remember that baptism marks our union with the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and our union with His church, the body of believers that God uses to keep us and to grow us. So when you witness baptism this morning, beloved, embrace the blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior, for the forgiveness of sins. Rest in the faithfulness of God the Spirit, who will continue to purify you for a godly life. But also be sure to embrace your church, that spiritual family where God our Father will strengthen us to press on by the mutual encouragement that we give to one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.